Welcome to the Ayahuasca Parents Podcast.
Hello.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Joel Christensen.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
How's your day?
My day is good.
Yep. Mine too.
I got Cavic'd this morning.
That's right. Tell all the lovely people what that means.
It means that there's a really, really large man that checks out my body and tries to figure out what fascia needs to be murdered.
What needs to be restructured?
Yeah, what needs to be restructured?
Yeah, so I love that you opened up with this, because next to plant medicines, I think finding Cavic and someone that restructures fascia has been by far one of the best healing modalities that we've ever found. So fascia, most people probably already know this, is a connective tissue, and it covers basically everything in your body, all your nerves, all your muscles, everything.
Yeah.
Except for some places in your brain and your small intestines. I believe it's the small intestines. But anyways, the idea behind it is that over time, you know, like when you see older people, they start to kind of hunch forward. And this is crystallized fascia. It's a hardening of the fascia. And so how long has it been since we found Cavic? 3 years ago?
No.
Was it 2 years ago?
Well, it's two years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I think actually a little bit over 2 years, but
yeah.
But anyway, so it was interesting because back during that time period, I was looking at more like I was trying to find something to complete trauma cycles. So, and I'll go back into more of exactly what is stored in the fascia, but I think this is relevant. So, I'll just start from the beginning.
We should totally have him on the podcast, by the way.
I know, like I was totally thinking about that. I think he'd be wonderful.
Oh, it'd be incredible.
And I'm sure everybody would just geek out over it because he's just an amazing human.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, go
but
ahead.
It was about 2.5 years ago, and I had just this weird chronic like neck, back, shoulder pain that kept on coming up to a point where I couldn't turn my head from side to side and I'd get vertigo. And so it laid me out. I'd be in bed and I'd just be, you know, upset because I don't like being in bed and I don't like being debilitated like that. And I had one of my strategic partners, I guess we'll call her, you know.
Yeah, let's just call her that.
Yeah, she called me and she's like, you know, what's going on? I was telling her, she's like, you got to go see my dude, my fascia dude. And, you know, I was like, fascia dude, you know, like, what does he do? And she's like, I can't really explain it. She's like, but whatever's going on with your body, you'll go in and come out and you'll be just fine. And I'm thinking, it takes me, you know, 7 days sometimes to right myself after one of these episodes. And so she says to me, I just so happened to accidentally, I have accidentally scheduled 2 appointments the following day. And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah. She's like, that's good too, because it takes about 6 weeks to get into them. And I was like, yeah, I'll take your appointment. So I get in there, I tell him what's going on. By the time he's done, so 90 minutes later, I could put my shoulder to my ear. I could move my head side to side. My vertigo was gone. I was shocked. But what was the most interesting thing was that I sat on his table after it was done and I just shook and I just started to cry because I knew what was going on. I was completing a trauma cycle. And it was like 20 years ago. So I'm really young. And I had come across this article about people that had been, you know, horribly abused and touch therapy. And it just eked me out. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know, go fuck yourself.
I was physically abused and now you want to touch me to make me feel better? There's a lot of sense in that.
I don't want to do that. But then what happened is it was like 2017. I started working with I guess he was a psychologist from Peru. He was someone I'd gone to ayahuasca with. And he was doing this kind of like somatic, I can't remember the technical term, but like somatic therapy. Basically, you try and get yourself into a meditative state. You think about a specific trauma and you're manually attempting to complete this trauma cycle. It just didn't work for me. It was so frustrating. And I was frustrated. I was like, I've had thousands.
Seemed a little more woo-woo too. Like it was.
Well, yeah. And come on now. Like I've had thousands of traumatic experiences. How am I supposed to then think about all of them and then relive it? Like, go fuck yourself.
You're
like,
right.
That doesn't seem like something that works,
seems
right?
Seems like it'll re-traumatize you.
Well, it did in a way, and it made me super frustrated. And so it was, so as I'm laying here on the table and I'd on his table and I was shaking, and I was releasing, and I looked at Kavik and I said, does this work help with that? Like, I've had an enormous amount of body trauma. And he looked at me and he goes, yes. He goes, only 1% of my clients even know that that's part of this work. And so we embarked on this journey together. And Kavik will tell you that he learned a lot off of me and you, of course.
Well, he learned a lot off of you because it was super interactive.
Well, yeah, it was 90.
You were very aware.
Yeah, so it was 10 sessions that we did every week.
Mm-hmm.
And for 90 minutes, and I'd basically cry and holler and whine, whatever I needed to do, I was just releasing. So it's small movements is what he does. He starts, he has a intimate knowledge of the entire body, of how the, like, all nerve placement.
How the fascia bands work, yeah. Right?
Well, how, like, the body bands, how your muscular bands work. And so someone like me that has been through an enormous amount of trauma, it, you know, trauma stays in the body. It stores in the fascia, you know. You've got a body piece, a mind piece, and a physics or spirit piece.
Yeah.
And to heal completely, all of those realms have to be, you know, you have to release things.
Yeah.
You know, somewhat, we see this in ayahuasca too. You know, when you are in the medicine and working with the medicine, you can get great perspectives and healing, and there's always a physical plug and play there, which is usually in the form of purging. So you'll throw up, some people have diarrhea, some people cry, some people shake. You know, it's this completion of this trauma cycle. Animals, if you look at animals, like if you've ever watched two deer or two dogs go at it, you'll see one of the deer or one of the dogs after the traumatic event sit there and just shake. It's their nervous system. It just knows what to do after a traumatic event so that, you know, you don't have, you know, mentally ill, you know,
animals.
Birds and ducks. And
bipolar animals.
Right, exactly. Running around like,
fuck.
Yeah, that's, and see, we actually are wired to do that as well. But then, of course, we've got.
We're trying to suppress it.
Right, right. Yeah. Then we're born into families, and then we've got mom and dad, you know, telling little boys not to be pussies and, you know, like, get up, walk it off, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, we don't cry and don't make a scene. And so we actually, instead of completing these trauma cycles, we build them up, and we build them up in our fascia. The connective tissue, which is the fascia, is, I guess you could say, hollow, and it has fluid in it.
Mm-hmm.
It also connects into the lymphatic system. I mean, the lymphatic, don't even get me started.
Moves toxins out of your body.
And like, I could talk a whole freaking 3 hours about our lymphatic system, which is the most important system in our bodies.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents after my research. But so 10 weeks of this, Kavik is structuring my body and helping me release memories or release trauma that's actually in my body. When he first started to work on my body, it was like, you're so rigid. Like, you touch my body, there was no pliability to it. It was like I was flexing
constantly. Yeah.
That's because when we have trauma and we go tense. Through fight or flight, and really those of us that have had PTSD, even if you've you know, healed the mind PTSD or the CPTSD or the spirit, you know, the spiritual damage that was done, the body is its own entity, and it's storing everything still.
Yeah.
And so, so what would happen was there were times where it was like a flip book, like it was almost like memories that would come, and they'd come so quick, and I never ever, you know, stopped to really analyze any of the memories, or like obsess about any of them, but it was just like, dick, 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 dick. The memories would go by during a session, depending on which part of the body that he was working
on.
That's
the fascinating part too. If it's like your shoulder. It's like a dad thing.
Sometimes we'd get smells, tastes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Talk about smells.
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple of experiences where, especially when he did my face,
yeah,
you know, I smelled almost like, you know, anesthesia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
which is common, he says.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, he said that specifically those of us that have had surgeries, which is a body trauma, by the way, just because you don't remember it doesn't mean that it wasn't horribly traumatic for the body that does remember it.
Right.
You know, so I've had a hysterectomy and a cesarean. And so, yeah.
Well, I've had a knee and a shoulder, and both times I woke up, I was bruised in a lot of places that had nothing to do with my knee and shoulder.
Right. Cause they have to move you around and things. So
they don't give a shit. You're out and they're just moving around like meat.
Yeah, I know. And it's traumatizing to the body and those memories stay, and you know, they become weak points.
Yeah.
Meaning that like when you then have, well, and one more thing too, then it would help me process my emotions. So I'd have all these crazy emotions.
Yeah.
There were times where I was, you know, making weird grunting noises. There were times where I was just crying quietly. There was times where it was full on cry purge. And
there's
then
times
laughing.
Where I would get cold.
Oh yeah. All the time.
Cold and shiver, or hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Depending on where he was working.
If you can find someone that understands anything about fascia, like, oh my God, find that person. Like, there's got to be people all over. And what is that? Tom versus Time. Tom Brady has a guy, right? He calls it pliability.
Well, he branded it.
Pliability,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he branded it pliability. Okay. And it's like, you know, anybody that likes football either loves or hate that guy. There's usually nowhere in the middle, right?
Because you can find it on Facebook. It's basically a documentary about Tom Brady called Time. What is it?
Tom versus Time. Yeah. Because he's, what, 43, 42? And he's still at the top of his game, which is unheard of.
Yeah, or he was. Just kidding.
But no, I mean, yeah. I mean, but you know, the thing, I'm not a Tom Brady, the football player fan, but I'm a Tom Brady fan.
Yeah.
After watching this documentary. And, you know, the guy played through injuries for the first 10 years of his career.
Mm.
Right? Like, to the point where his elbow, he said his elbow was swollen for like 15 years.
Wow.
From high school up until 10 years into his NFL career. And he did one session with a fascia guy, and it was gone. And that reminded me of my first time seeing Kavik, right? Because you're telling me about it, and I'm just like, it sounds awful, you know? Because you're like, you come home and I cried, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And then I went and watched, and I was like, holy shit, that looks painful, you know? And it is painful your first time because no one's been releasing the fascia. You know, it bonds to your nerves, bonds to muscles, it bonds to all these different things. And like for me, I had a knee surgery where I was basically, they were trying to, you know, clean up my meniscus and take off a bone spur. And I went through all the rehab, one of the top rehab places around. And my knee would swell anytime I would hike, anytime I would run, anytime I would exercise. I'm like, what is this? And I remember the orthopedic surgeon was like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you'll probably deal with that for the rest of your life. I'm like, well, what the hell was the point of the surgery?
You gotta love allopathic medical doctors, because that's like, they're like, oh yeah, you'll be on drugs the rest of your life. Or no, I'm sorry, you're just going to have pain the rest of your life. Yeah. Like, that's not an answer. You say you're a healer. You went to medical school for like 12 years. What are you? Well, what the fuck, really?
I think you and I have learned over the last 6-7 years that actually everything is fixable and nothing is for life.
Yeah, because what we express on our bodies physically is emotional. At least that's where I'm at right now, what I'm seeing. And so most of the things, like, again, the things that express themselves on a physical, in your physical body, are through weak points. Mm-hmm. And they usually have a story. There's a story there. There's some sort of trauma that happened. And it's about really going, you know, deep within and figuring that out. Anyways, I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. Like, so for me, when I saw him the first time, right? And I don't dive into medical things. I don't need to, because I have you. You're awesome, because you'll do all the research. And I'm like, so what are the cliff notes? It's great. And I hope you take that as a compliment. But
oh, thanks.
So I go see him, and I'm tired of my knee swelling. And what happens? I'm like, look at my knee. And he's like, cool. All right, so here's what we're going to do. It's your right knee. So, you know, logically, we're going to push on your left hip and your left shoulder. And I'm like, yeah, that's logical. Okay.
It's just
absolutely no sense.
The body bands. He showed us pictures of basically these crosses of muscles.
Yeah.
And how the body really connects. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, I went through physiology and anatomy and I don't remember ever learning any of this, but in those classes, specifically anatomy, you're learning about this is the muscle group and here's the different striations and insertions. You're not really looking at how it all connects because allopathic medicine is so specialized. So they don't look at the whole body. They just zero in on the origin of pain.
Yeah.
You know, which is ridiculous. And Kavik doesn't. He looks at the entire system.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when I first started seeing him, he pokes on my left shoulder, my left hip, and what happens, right? Blew my fucking mind. Swelling was gone that day, right? Then you and I went on a trip to Colorado, and we decided to do a ridiculous hike. It was like uphill in the snow both ways, 10 miles or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
It was a
right?
fun hike.
Yeah. It was a fun hike. It was gorgeous. It was a lot. It was really.
But it was like 12 or 13 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very strenuous, right? And the whole time I'm like, my knee doesn't hurt.
Well, and you were like, I'm going to have to ice my knee when we get down.
Yeah.
You
it felt stronger.
Yeah. We got back to our VRBO and I remember you saying like, I don't even need my sleeve. Like I don't.
Nope.
Like I don't have to ice it.
One session.
But we work with a lot of vets, or I should say you work with a lot of vets, and these men are and women are in so much pain, and you've referred them to Kavik, and the stories that have come you know from these people of healing is just incredible.
Well, you know what's funny about most of the vets that go see him, they're suffering from damage from the sound wave of a blast.
Yeah.
So no direct physical contact, but it's a sound wave, right? And it's coming from a blast.
Right.
So when they have a Western doctor look at their body, they're like, yeah, I don't know. Here's some pills. You're 80% disabled.
How many pills are these vets on?
24.
Yeah. Is that not?
It seems to be the common number I get.
Thing?
24 pills. And when they go see Kavik, what actually is the problem? The blast adheres their fascia to whatever,
to the nerves, yeah,
to the muscles, to whatever, and they're in chronic pain.
Well, and this is what scar tissue is. Scar tissue is bundled up fascia.
Yeah.
And there is a process in a way in which that you can, it's not a massage.
No.
It's like slow, long pressure movements that, you know, that follow the striations of your muscles or your nerves. I mean,
well, and when
whatever you need.
When you finished your 10 weeks and he did before and after pictures, I mean, talk about, you know, the cool things. Talk about how much taller you were, but talk about your rib cage.
I gained an inch of height, which was ridiculous.
Right.
The space between my hip bone and my lower rib, you're supposed to be able to fit four fingers, at least as a woman, four fingers. And I could barely fit two.
Wow.
And so I was compressed, but that's when you age and when you've had trauma and you're not taking care of yourself, you just continue to compress. That fascia just starts to really, you know, crystallize. It hardens.
Yeah.
You know? And so what you're doing is with these long movements that he does, this long pressure movements that he does in a coordinated way, it is, you know, like anytime you do that with your body, like if you pushed on your body or you injured your body, you've got a bunch of, you know, good cells, you know, blood flow that takes place. And it's really reconnecting your body with your brain.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed because I was in such a dissociative state for the majority of my life from being abused. You have to reconnect your body to your brain, you know?
Yeah.
And it's remarkable now, you know? I mean, like I just saw him yesterday. He'd worked on my hips, my lower back 2 weeks ago. And my foot started to fan out and I had some weird like shin pain, you know, so I walk in yesterday and I'm like, what's going on with my foot there, dude? Like, what'd you do to me? You know, he's like, well, do you have any more hip or back pain? I'm like, nope, because that's why, because it's just the shakedown. And now we're going to, you know, readjust basically your now. Yeah. And he's not a chiropractor, you know, chiropractors. It's weird because they adjust your bones, but your muscles are what keep your bones in space in place. Your bones are nothing more than spacers for your muscles.
Well, I you know, a chiropractor is an interesting thing. You know, like for me, I when I started seeing a chiropractor back when I was younger and I was really into sports and it just kind of seemed like the thing to do to keep my body in check, right? I'd pop everything. So before a game, I pop my neck side to side. You know, every morning I'd wake up, twist my back, pop my back into place. Chronic knuckle popper. you know, popping my knees, popping my ankles, right? Started seeing Kavik. I can kind of pop my knuckles still.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else. My back doesn't pop anymore. You know, and I asked Kavik about it. And he was like, well, once we put the fascia in place, the fascia holds your bones in place.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't pop out of alignment. And I said, so chiropractors don't do anything. He goes, well, if you see a fascia guy, you don't need a chiropractor.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense. As soon as Kavik said, the bones are just spacers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And he's like, the muscles are what holds the bones in place. It's funny how people will get cognitive dissonance when you start talking about this, that go and see a chiropractor religiously.
Well,
they'll go, yeah, that's right. And it's like, okay.
I talked to a chiropractor about fascia. She was like, yeah, that's something that we find interesting. I'm thinking, you don't know what it is. Cause if you did,
yeah, well, you
wouldn't be a chiropractor.
Like these, you know, allopathic westernized doctors, they have a specialty.
Yeah.
So they have a specialty in the bones. They're not learning about the muscles, or if they did, it was quickly, right? It was more or less how to make sure that you're not injured.
It's like everything else. They're fixing the symptoms and they're not looking at the cause. And when you go to a fascia guy, you're going straight to the cause.
But Kavik is so much more than that, because he's really a great therapist too. He's a body reader.
Yeah, whisper.
Yeah. I mean, I know we call him the body whisperer. He's actually a nurse. He's, you know, a trained nurse. And then in his free time, he studies all things body. Like he knows the entire map of the nervous system.
Yeah.
You know, the cardiovascular system, the muscular system, the skeletal system. And it's very interesting, because when you get into a room with him, it's almost like you both become one.
Yeah.
And
yep.
And it's just, he's more of an appendage all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And he just knows what to do and what to say. And then you just release and I feel so good. I just feel good.
Well, he seems like he, based on where he can see that you're bound up, he can kind of help you work out any kind of emotional problems that are tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll take care of the physical part, and then he'll help you release the emotional side.
And the greatest thing about that is the way he does that is by just being a mirror for you. He asks a lot of, rhetorical, reflective questions. It's just basically redirecting you and asking another question to help you find the source. He's a true facilitator. I think that's the key. The more I've been on this journey, the more I've realized that anybody that tries to tell you how it works, I've said this a few times now, is not a real facilitator. You know, facilitators ask a lot of redirecting questions.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, but it's also exactly what you need to find out, what you need to find out within yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we want people just to tell us what to do or how to think or how to fix it.
Yeah. But he helps you help you.
Yeah.
And you know, things I wasn't aware of before we started seeing him. People that are pigeon toed or duck toed. Like what do you call
them? Yeah. So the toes go in or out.
In or out. Right. Yeah. That's not right.
I think they call it pronate and supinate. I think that's what they call it.
That's the.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not normal. Hunchback's not normal. Leaning forward's not normal. Your butt sticking out's not normal. You know, your brother went to see him because, you know, after we got done bragging about him, I mean, clearly he had some physical stuff he wanted to work out, but I didn't know this, but it always bothered him that his butt stuck out.
Well, and he dealt with chronic constipation.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Yeah, both gone. I mean, he really, my brother specifically was just like, and he's a skeptic and he doesn't believe in woo-woo, not even a little bit.
Nope.
And I don't know how many people he's referred to him now, probably dozens and dozens, and paid for people to go see him.
Has he really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's such an awesome guy.
Yeah, because it's real healing.
Oh, it's...
You know, when you find real healing, you want all of the people that you know to go specifically the people that are in chronic pain. You know,
you and I, when we experienced psychedelics, told everybody, and because that was real healing for us.
I wouldn't recommend doing that.
No, I mean... That's a different thing. But, you know, body ailments, everybody, I mean, come on, who doesn't have a body ailment, right? Who doesn't have a part of their body that just hurts?
Well, and we've taken our kids to him. So we have one of our sons. He's incredibly athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just seen him in basketball practice yesterday. Like,
was it amazing?
He's getting so good. Anyway, go
ahead. He's 13. He popped a rib head out.
Yeah.
And he was just in a lot of pain. And it's interesting how pain will revert in another area of your of your body.
Yeah.
And so for our son, it was like, he thought he was having neck and, you know, like shoulder pain. It was really his rib.
Yeah.
And he was, Kavik's just great about, you know, okay, turn on your left side. And next thing you know, our son's like, oh, and Kavik's like, yeah, you're the head of your rib was out of dislocated. You know?
He works on kids all the way up to like 90-year-old women. I mean,
oh,
he's got some 90-year-old lady that he just crushes, and she feels like it's fixed all of her, her thyroid.
Yeah, her hormonal issues. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's never been, I mean, from what I understand, she's born again.
Yeah. You don't have to continue on with the maintenance if you don't want to. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, now you have to see him for life.
No.
But I think those of us that have gone to him, we see the benefit and how like we want to work out more. We want to move our bodies more. Like we feel more connected, you know, to our bodies. Not to mention, it's just nice to be in Kavik's energy. That's really.
Yeah. But I that's real about wanting to work out more.
Yeah.
Because like for me, like the body ailments, you know, I've had feet issues. That have been scary to deal with because I don't like people touching my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I think feet are gross, but it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It either tickles or hurts.
Yeah.
And he's been working through those. And my Achilles tendon, like when I was a kid, I walked around on my tippy toes because my Achilles tendons were so tight that it was like I grew too fast, but the Achilles tendon didn't grow fast enough. You know, it was to the point where like I'm seeing a specialized doctor, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's trauma left over from that, and he's been working on that. You know, my hips are jacked up, but not so much anymore because he's working on those.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, athletically, I'm 45 and I'm more mobile and doing more things now than I did 10 years ago. And I was an athlete as a kid.
Yeah.
And he'll return you back to being an athlete.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so funny. Through this process, what I realized was people don't need to go in and see a psychologist. That seems to be kind of like a dying profession anyways, because I think most people have learned that talk therapy is actually a recycling of and a strengthening of the trauma.
Yeah.
It's interesting how this is the new psychologist. This is the, I think this is so cutting edge that this is the new way of treating the body, the mind and the physics together.
It seems at the same time. You know, like take that episode of Goop that we watched, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a great series.
Oh, the one where they had the energy guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, he was kind of doing similar thing. Well, he's having similar results as far as, you know, people having emotional relief through what that guy was doing. Yeah, these things are here.
Well, again, I think once it clicks for you that everything physical is emotional and everything emotional is physical.
Yeah.
And you really start to look at yourself as, you know, energy, frequency, and vibration.
Yeah.
And you really understand that.
Yeah.
You know, that your emotions are literally a frequency and they express themselves in a vibratory state, which is the body.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I see it. It makes so much more sense to me in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, this, you know, and it makes a lot more sense when I work with the plants, because the plants are totally interworking. They're working with you also in the mind, body, you know, physics or spirit, you know, energy, frequency, vibration, you know, attempting to help balance you out, gain the perspectives that you need. It's remarkable. So,
I mean, there's should be more of these popping up. I mean, I don't know where anybody lives, but it's basically called,
I would say, fascia restructuring. I'd Google that and in your local area and see if there's anybody. You know, I feel like this is like one of those new downloads with these particular type of healers.
Yeah.
They have an intimate knowledge of the body. They've done massage therapy, but they can sense that there's something more out there.
Yeah.
You know, and he works out of a Woods Cross, Utah. That's where he works out of.
Yeah. I know there's places in Colorado and Las Vegas specifically.
Mm-hmm. I actually think there's another dude here too. When I was Googling it, I think I came across his page. Yeah, too. But you know, I think you could go to a fascia restructure that has no idea the plug and play with the nervous system, in that you can complete trauma cycles that way.
Yeah.
I think you'd still get great benefit, but man, if you can find somebody like Kavik that totally understands,
gets the body part.
Yeah. I mean, like that's the way I would go. And we literally have referred him to everyone.
Yeah. It's, I think that's the, you know, that's the interesting thing when we started working from plants. And I think a lot of people start to feel it. You definitely start to see in reality what works, what's treating symptoms, what's treating the source.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the place where you're just looking, you just want to go straight to the source.
Yeah, it's real healing at that point.
It's permanent healing.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm going to be taking this pill forever.
Yeah.
With no hope of ever getting off the pill.
Well, we did that and that didn't feel very good. And that's really no quality of life.
Yeah.
And it's a lie. It really is a lie, you know? So I too believe that there's something that can heal just about, you know, everything. We've had, we've known of people that have gone to ayahuasca. I think we've mentioned this before, where they had suffered from multiple sclerosis and were having double vision. And then also they weren't able to walk. So they were literally, they rolled up in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And they walked out of the sanctuary and no longer suffered from double vision to a point where they went home and were able to have their driver's license reinstated and drive again. When you talk to somebody that has MS about this, one of two things happens. Either they want to research the hell out of it or they're really pissed. Same with people that have cancer. They either want to research the hell out of it and understand it more, or they get really pissed. You know, my two cents about the people that get pissed is that their sickness is working for them in some way.
Hmm.
And I can say that because I felt, you know, at some point I think I also had that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, wait a second. If this is how I interact with the world is through my pain,
mm-hmm.
or this is how I feel my body is through pain. Like I had so much trauma and I was so dissociated from my body. That's the way I connected. Mm. It's screwed up. It's not a great quality of life.
That's how you connected to your body.
Yeah. Like through the pain. So, and I think a lot of people do that. I see it as just you plant seeds. You know, you say things, and when people push you away, you don't say anything more. You just sort of move on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, trying to refer people to CAVIC, for example, that's easy because we're talking about physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to give them all the details of it. All you got to do is talk about the physical pain. You know, the one story I've shared every time was my first experience with my knee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that guy that's training our kid for basketball,
mm-hmm.
He saw CAVIC on Monday.
Oh, he
did? That's what CAVIC said. And said he walked out of there with instant relief on his knee.
Oh, I can't wait for you to talk to him. Yeah, I see him Sunday. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be gone, so I won't be able to talk to
but
him.
But you know, we don't, like, you want to be an athlete. That doesn't end when you're 30.
Right.
Doesn't have to. If you take care of your body right. You know, I thought it did end, you know. I have more energy now than the previous 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is I've cleaned out my head and now I'm cleaning up my body, you know?
Yeah.
It's the whole mind, body, spirit thing.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you work on one, like for instance, I'm about to go to Peru here now in the next few days. And
are you nervous?
Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whenever I go work in Peru, there is a little bit of a physical, but more so for me, that's more of a spiritual physics thing for me.
Yeah.
And so I'll come home and there'll be kind of like this, you know, kind of catch up with my mind and mm-hmm. with my body. But I enjoy that process. I enjoy when one of my pieces like takes off, you know, for some healing and the other two pieces have to play catch up a bit. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm finally to the point where I'm just like, can I just get on the damn plane now? Like, I don't want to wait anymore. So I'm just trying to stay present, you know, but, you know, it's interesting. This last week I've been in the ayahuasca pocket is what I call it. I mean, talk about going deep, deep within. And, you know, when you take ayahuasca, the minute you make a commitment, it starts to work on you. And so the original things that I wrote down, in my intake questionnaire for the Temple of the Way of Light have been resolved. And then this week has been just going even deeper. And I think one of the things that I can see now and maybe it's just a different layer of something that I've seen in the past, is just how much I need to accept people for where they're at, period. And just continue to work on me, you know, and not get distracted distracted with everybody else's processes. And then I've been learning some things about, you know, really what unconditional love is. Like, what does that really mean for me? You know, so those are the things that I've been thinking of. I'm still a little confused about why I'm going to ayahuasca.
No.
But I love it because it's like, again, it talk about you see the symptoms. A lot of the times what we're aware of are the symptoms. And ayahuasca is quick, at least for me. I felt so connected to ayahuasca this week. And I've really felt like that she has been right by my side, helping me see whatever it is that I needed to see about the symptoms that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Still don't really understand where the source is coming from. And I'm sure we'll resolve that in Peru. I'm just attempting to be focused, and which I feel like I'm really focused right now. I'm really feeling connected to the earth. I was like driving this afternoon. I went and had lunch at my daughter's school with her class, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm driving there and I'm like getting distracted by the birds and the clouds. And I realized, I'm like, yes, yes. Like this is what I get to do for nearly 10 days, is just get distracted in all things, the jungle and nature. And, one of my first, psychedelic experiences with psilocybin's, the mushroom. Psilocybin's, the mushrooms told me, at one point it was the earth that was talking to me. And she said, you know, that I was kind of sharing with her about what had happened to me in my life, cause I didn't know how psychedelics really worked. I didn't understand at that point that she knew more about me than I knew about me. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I kind of flashed all these pictures into my head of, you know, horrible abuse. And it was almost like she grabbed my hand and just like stroked my hand. And she said, you know, Cammie, she's like, that's not your mother. I'm your mother. You know, I'm going to take care of you now. And that sort of popped up in my head today. And because of what's just happened recently with my mom again, where I realized that I can't have her in my life. She's not safe.
Yeah.
I just realized, like, for me, you know, going back to Peru right now is like, you know, homecoming. I'm going to get to really be with my mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean.
And I'm anxious, I think, at this point to really saturate myself in the plants and the jungle and all of the consciousnesses that, you know, are brilliant and of like mind. And
taking ayahuasca in Peru is like stepping out of time. You get this, just, you're in this buffer zone where you get to sit in your own energy and you get to, you know, you get to interact with the consciousness of the plant, but you also, you get to just, you know, think about where you're at and what's not serving you and what you need to work on and what you need to let go of. And
well, you know, time is a man-made construct and it's not linear. And and if you don't know that going into ayahuasca, you sure know that when you're there.
That's what I was going to say. If you didn't know that before, you'll know that once you get there. Cause you're like, how many days have I been here? Like,
how many days have been in this
they're
day?
Like one. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think if you have the means, you should go every couple of years for sure. You know, I can't wait to go back. I haven't been since 2016. I can't wait to go back now, you know, just listening or reading what you're about to, this new place and what's about to happen. And then, you know, just watching you guys prepare. I really liked preparing the second time. First time I was I didn't like it. Where's my salt? You know, but the second time, and like, I could totally do it. No problem. Probably enjoy all the parts of it. You know, I'm secretly hopeful that this trip me and, you know, our oldest kid talk about will actually make happen.
Oh, you guys you'll make it happen. And while I'm gone, I hear that maybe you and our oldest Taylor will do a podcast.
Yeah, well, I think it's time that we branch out, right?
Yeah, I think it'd be so much fun. We've talked a lot about having other people on. Yeah. We think that it would be really fun for Joel and I to connect to other people. We've been to ayahuasca that are also parents.
Yeah.
And have conversations with them and, you know, talk to them specifically about, you know, how this shifted them as a parent, you know, as a partner, you know, as a son, you know.
Well, yeah, with Taylor, I'm going to let him do a lot of the talking, right? I'd love for him to explain.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. But I'd love for him to explain where he was at before we took it.
Yeah.
And how he felt us taking ayahuasca affected him.
Yeah.
And then all the changes that he went through.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got the kid 22 is just full of wisdom.
He really is. He's just a remarkable young man, a remarkable man at this point.
I think when, you know, we talked about it last night, I think when you and Kylie come back, you two should do one and you should talk about, you know.
Yeah, we'll see how
you might have to
Kylie
do a,
feels.
You might have to do a couple.
Yeah.
Depending on what you guys go through. You
yeah.
know?
But we'll see how she feels. So
yeah.
I'm just going to let her, you know, be. I had a good conversation. I reconnected randomly with a friend of mine from the, I think in 2016 that I went to ayahuasca with. And we talked for about 3 hours because he has been to the Temple of the Way of Light. So he was able to kind of help me with some housekeeping items that I wasn't sure of, like how many flashlights do I need to bring? Is there electricity in the tambos? Which there's not. I guess they're oil lamps. So things like that. But he gave me some really good, he's much younger than me, like 10, 12 years. He gave me good advice. He was like, you know, he's like, if I like went to ayahuasca with my mom, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, but you're a boy, you know, and she's a girl. So that would be a little bit difficult anyways. But he's like, it would just be really difficult, you know, to be 100% honest. He's like, but maybe you and Kylie have a different relationship. And I said, well, yeah, I think we do. We've been through so much together. And I'm like, I believe that she's told me all of her secrets. And he goes, that you know of. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I pulled her aside yesterday, and because I really wanted to make sure that she was really feeling comfortable, because I'm the mom, you know, she's just used to doing what I say.
Right.
So I said, first of all, I addressed the whole rooming together. I'm like, if you don't want a room with me, I'm totally okay with that. Like, if we get there and you've changed your mind and they offer you your own room because there's not very many of us that are going to be there, I'm okay with that. She genuinely was like, no, I want to room with you. I'm like, okay. And then I just told her, I said, look, what happens in Peru stays in Peru. I said, I'm not going to share anything, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want you to know that, like, I'll be a vault no matter what comes out. I'm like, you know, if you want to come home and share it, that's great. But like, that's not me for me to share.
Yeah.
I just wanted her to know that, you know, we could maybe blur the lines of mother, daughter, and just be sisters, you know, friends,
yeah,
women. Just
we'll take advantage of the
retreat. Yeah.
Take advantage of the time that you're there and feel comfortable to blah.
Yeah.
Let it all out.
That's what I told her. I said, for it to really be medicine, you have to be authentic and just, you know, do what you feel.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of the times when people work with ayahuasca, across the board, the first time, if you have anger is going to come up. It's interesting to watch how the anger is expressed.
Yeah.
And so I've been preparing myself for that too, that there might be some, you know, she might be projecting on me or others, and that's okay. Everybody will. Like, that's the other cool thing. It's like a ceremony within the ceremony when you go to ayahuasca with the group, because the group in and of itself is an experience. It's a psychedelic experience. Even when you're not under the medicine, you're under the medicine. It's in your veins. So to go to ayahuasca and think, well, I'm only under the medicine, you know, during the 6-hour ceremonies or 5-hour ceremonies, that's not true. It's like starting right now, we're under the influence of the medicine. And then once you actually take the medicine, it's very much interesting to see how the group functions and ebbs and flows as one, and how we create experiences to draw out of each other whatever it is that we need to see for the next ceremony. It's crazy.
It's something that probably doesn't make sense to most people until you actually commit to going, but it's how it works. Mm. 100% of the time.
Until you get home and you integrate and you realize that real life is just like that too. and then you begin to see, you know, everything for the psychedelic experience that it is.
Yeah.
And then when you're aware of that, then you can really start to, you know, when you realize that the reality that you're creating and that you're a part of, you know, is really trying to help you get to where you need to be, instead of that it's something that is always trying to resist where you're trying to go.
Right.
You can kind of get into this flow and see it for what it is instead of what you're constantly projecting on it. to be. And it's funny because it's not like when you get home from working with plant medicines that bad things don't happen. Bad things or perceivably bad things.
Yeah.
It's just how you manage them, how you're able to look at them, how you're able to perceive them, you know? And, you know, I think that's one thing that I think we've all maybe hitched on and we've gotten stuck on at times, like, oh my gosh, like I've spent all this money, you know, going to Peru, I've received all this healing, but like life is really shitty right now. Like what the literal fuck is happening? Like I thought my life was supposed to be, you know, unicorns and hippies from here on out. You
but
know?
You did all this changing and life right. is the same. You can't put right. a new person back in the same routine.
Right. Exactly. And so there comes the integration piece yeah. where you start to shift
the life yep. so that it matches now the new you.
Yep. You know, I
know this one specifically.
Yeah. Well, during the integration process, I would suggest, I think one of the things that helped me the very most was getting out into nature.
Yeah.
Watching, like we have this place that we like to go, you know, watching the ducks, you know, watching, you know, just watching nature, like, you know, listening to the trees, you know, and you don't bring your phone or any technology, you know. I love to hike. We love to hike. So, you know, hiking in the woods or even in the snow.
Well, I mean, just, you know, we used to go to, you know, the river, which is in the middle of a neighborhood, basically.
Right.
And plop down some camping chairs and stare at the birds. And
yeah,
we knew all the birds. We knew which ducks laid their eggs where.
The gopher or the otters.
Otters. I was like, yeah, what are those things?
The cormorants.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I mean, there was all kinds of.
And we just sit there. It's not like we'd sit there and chat it up. We just sit there and be.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just, you know, soaking in the light codes from the sun,
mm-hmm.
you know, or
watching
getting rained
clouds.
On.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many times have we been rained on, snowed on?
A lot. It was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. But it just, you know, connects you back into nature. And I think that's one of the biggest problems everyone has. I can tell you for me, 100%. I mean, living in Utah, we're surrounded by beauty, right?
Right.
I didn't play in any of that beauty until I did psychedelics. I didn't even notice it.
And then Cammy
now
was
can't
like,
get enough of it.
And Cammy was like, we should go visit all of the national parks.
Like, and I was like, okay. But you know what? They're amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm in awe. Yeah. I mean, you see every time I'm like, this, what the hell created this? Like, I can't process it in my head, but like, that's where I'm reset. That's where I feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So I'm looking forward to, I'm attempting to start a new business
mm-hmm.
and, I've had all this like creative energy and like imagination. And then all of a sudden it was like, I hit a brick wall and that's how I knew. I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm in the ayahuasca pocket. There's nothing other than starting to walk, you know, within myself. It's like when you do a fast, those of you that have done fasts or, you know, right. water fast or juice fast or whatever, and you have to walk yourself into your detox or into your fast. I totally feel like I'm doing that right now. And I just feel really good. I feel at peace. I don't think I worked through my nerves about going to an all women's retreat. I had like a massive panic attack about that. You know, I have had a hard time connecting with women throughout my life.
Yeah.
Probably because my mom was a woman and she was a horrible, you know, she abused me. So I think I've just had a hard time connecting and bonding with other women. Yeah. And I see women generally as, I don't know why women do this. It's for me particularly, but there's, you know, they either like me or they get really jealous and I don't care. And so I think it adds to people's frustration. So I get a lot of people that will project on me is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I don't care. And so I think that frustrates people that I don't work in the same way that other people work or that I'm not reactionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been a little bit nervous about that. You know,
you said the other day, this is your second time going to like an all woman group setting.
Well,
like a cacao ceremony.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah. I did a cacao ceremony,
which was,
it was all women.
Weird.
And yeah, it was. It was strange. It was a lot of women giving themselves weird, you know, I don't know. It was just strange. When you get a bunch of women together, it's like everybody interacts with this facade, you know, We all pretend. We're just pretending. Nobody actually...
Guys do that too, just so you know.
Nobody ever just sits down and goes, you know, like, I struggle bonding and connecting with my children. Yet when you finally get to that space with women, everybody's suffering from the same thing. Hmm. It's just, it takes a while, I guess, for everybody to take off their masks and realize that they're safe.
Yeah.
You know, and that really they're not going to be judged. And so I'm really hoping that's the kind of group that we've drawn in, is this kind of group that really wants to roll up our sleeves and just get real.
Well, it'll five cups, taking five cups.
Yeah.
So you'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when we went together the first time, everybody had a mask on. Took the first cup, half the masks came off.
Yeah.
Took the second cup, some more came off. By the time we were ready for the fourth cup, everyone was surrendered, like, oh shit, let's do this.
Yeah, that's a good
point. It's like a warrior, you know, it's like, there's definitely that warrior side to it where everybody feels like, okay, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
You know, and you're all supporting each other. And having a small group like what you're about to have, mm-hmm. I would think the majority of you are going to click.
Yeah.
You know, 13 people compared to 30 people that we have, you know, at previous retreats.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
Well, most of my psychedelic experiences have been with all men. So there's been times where there's been only as many as five women. There's been a time where I was the only woman.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny because I never felt uncomfortable.
Well, you get along better with men.
Yeah. And so it was...
You're alpha.
Well... It was weird that this would come up, that all of a sudden I have all these insecurities about, oh my gosh, what am I about to do here?
It's good. It's good.
I'm not worried about the five ayahuasca ceremonies. I'm worried about the women.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's.
Yeah. It puts
it in perspective.
But here's what I like about it is I found a fear that I didn't even know. This is the best thing about working with the plants. Like, this is why I love them, is that they help you see something within yourself that you just otherwise would not have seen. I would not have seen that had I not signed up for an all-women's retreat.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how cool is that?
It's really cool.
So I decided this week I need to carry around a resistance journal and write down anything I'm resistant to. Not that I'm afraid of, because really we have a lot of people when we think of fears.
Explain why.
Okay, well, because...
I mean, I know why, but explain why.
Well, because I've realized that my pattern is that when I resist something... that it's actually the next clue, that once I burst through the resistance and whatever that is, that it is helpful.
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, I don't know why I still have some, I do these thought paradigms sometimes where I convince myself that I don't, you know, need that person. It's usually revolving around people, you know, like, well, I don't need that person, or I don't need that perspective. You know, those are the types of things that I resist. Because when we start talking about fears, we all have a different level of fear. You know, like my level of fear is probably very different than someone else's level of fear, you know? So when someone says, well, what are you afraid of? I'm thinking of, well, fuck, not much, you know, because, whoa, what was that? That was funny. Sorry about that.
Apparently, we got an email.
No. I'm like, I'm typically not.
It's never happened before.
I'm typically, you know, not afraid like the normal person because I was, you know, raised in fear.
Yeah.
Anyways, my point is that's why I said I want to carry around a resistance journal and write down anything that I'm resistant to doing. Maybe that's calling somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe that's writing an email. Maybe that's, you know, connecting to somebody on Facebook. You know, maybe it's something that, like, for instance, this, you know, I'm just going to say it. I don't like going to the school and doing things like I did today. Mm-hmm. I get super uncomfortable because there's other parents there and I'm awkward. I feel like I'm awkward.
But you're not.
Yeah. But in my mind, I'm an awkward person that doesn't fit in with the other parents. I know that's in my head.
Yeah.
And so that's why I've been doing things like that. Like when Lexi said, Mom, will you do this? I was like, yeah. Even though inside I was like, ha. No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to do more things that
it seems
that
like, you know, how, you know, cause we're all connected, right? The 100th monkey effect. It seems like that's the thing right now. We're all supposed to, like, one guy was explaining it, like, we need to embrace the suck, which basically what he was saying is like all the things that pop up that you don't want to do, you just need to do it. You need to blast through it.
Well, it's like it's like cliff diving or cliff jumping, like what we've done a couple times in southern Utah, where I wanted to face that fear.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to jump into a big pool of water from a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, and you there's something about that. I think that's why I like hiking too, is that you usually get yourself into a situation while you're hiking where you're really high up and there's not much of a path and you're kind of knocking on the door to some actual fears, you know, physical safety fears. And it's interesting because the more that we do that, and we do it as a family too, the more we're able to do other hikes that other families, you don't ever see other families on, you know, you see, you know, onesie twosies and usually adults, but not children.
Yeah.
And it's fun to kind of push ourselves, you know, like that individually. And then as a family, I really have tried to run into my fears lately and to do things, because I feel like that they're huge teachers. You know,
wow.
I do that with my wounds.
Yeah.
I'm good doing that with my wounds, just jumping in to a wound and saying, okay, let's figure out what the fuck is happening here. When it comes to like a literal fear, sometimes it's you resist a little bit, then the mind gets involved and then you talk yourself out of it. And then it becomes really big. So just doing it.
Just doing it from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, one of my lessons too, is stop letting my mind analyze everything. You know, women are so analytical like that. Men are very literal. Mm-hmm. Women are very analytical. Yep. And we like to sit there and we will think about every angle and then we'll get to wherever we're going. And none of that happens because none of that was real. Yeah. So
does that happen in your relationship?
Yeah. Well, you know, it does. You know, because I spent like all the beginning of all last year asking you questions about these thought paradigms that I was piecing together in my head.
Yeah, it was good though. It's good.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people lately are trying to clarify.
Well, that's
understand.
That's communication.
Yeah. That's like, another thing that I've been noticing is like people are trying to communicate better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been circling back with that. I've been circling back with assumptions and expectations. It's interesting how like you think, anytime you think that you've arrived or that you've figured something out, that should be a red flag in your head. Because it's not true. There's always, it's just, that's just another level of understanding or a layer of understanding for another perspective. And I'm always,
path keeps on going.
And I'm always just amazed when I see that, you know, like I've really been thinking again about expectations and unconditional love, you know, and acceptance. What I realized is that there are some of these things that I struggle with because towards other people, you know, towards you sometimes, because I haven't accepted myself 100%. You know, that's like a self unconditional love. You know, we talk about self love, but what about unconditional self love?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting how this whole experience goes down.
I'm such a worrier.
I know so you are.
Like, I'm not looking forward to.
I said to Joel that we're staying in Iquitos for one night in a hotel, and we plan on going to this restaurant. That has like an
like
approved.
It's a 7-minute walk. I'm like, you're not walking in Iquitos.
Yeah.
They got rickshaws everywhere.
Well, we are. They have motor cars, but I think we're just going to go ahead and do the walk. It'll be in the middle of the afternoon.
You'll
be
with a group of people. I don't know.
Yeah. It'll probably just be Kai and I, but.
Isn't your whole party wanting
to
go?
Well, I don't know when they're all going. Like, I don't know if they're doing it at nighttime. I've been meaning to get up on the Facebook group and say, well, we're going to be in town at this time and probably walk over there at this time.
Well, the best advice to give to you is the advice you give everybody else, is like, just listen to your inner alarm system. You know,
sure,
if you're starting to get the, this isn't safe, don't talk yourself into it. Go back to the room.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play it by ear and see.
Yeah.
See where we're at.
I just, you know, it's I go back to the same thing, right? I feel like we're doing pretty well in life considering where we were at 6-7 years ago. We've definitely flipped things around. We're definitely in a better place. You know, I can't imagine we've come this far to die in Iquitos, Peru.
Yeah.
I just don't, You know, so there's that. You know, you guys will be fine. I'll miss you.
I'm not afraid. You're afraid. I was going to ask you, will you miss me or will you be like, yes, 10 days, kids.
I'll miss you.
Mom's gone.
No, I'll miss you. That party. Yeah, no. No, you're the house. So it feels empty when you're not here.
Don't forget to feed our doggo.
I feed him all the time.
And change his water.
I did it yesterday.
Don't forget to brush him. I don't want Maddie Poodle. I don't want a matted poodle.
The dog will be fine.
Okay.
I promise. The dog will be fine. The kids will be fine. I'll be fine. We'll all be fine.
I know.
You know.
I know you will.
We'll miss you.
Yeah, but you don't have Kylie this time. Because usually when I leave, you've got mom too.
Yeah, but you know, she's amazing. She steps right in. She likes doing it. But come on, I can do it too.
I know you can. You know? Know
you can. I'm not going to discount what she does because she's mom number two.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you were gone last time, she was like, so what time are we getting up? I'm like, this is awesome. We're getting up at 7. Yay. I got help.
Yeah, we're getting up. That just meant she's up at 7 and you're up at 7:15.
Yeah. And she'd already have the coffee made and she was starting breakfast. Like, it was like awesome.
Oh, man.
And then me and her cooked every night together and, you know, but it was more bonding thing for us. We just enjoyed doing it. But, you know, when you're gone, you know, I'm definitely more present with the kids. You know, that's something I'm working through from, you know, basically from, it's probably my dad issues that I'm still trying to work through, you know, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like my dad tried hard and did the best he could, but you know, I can tell you, there's a lot of things that, you know, I didn't get as far as an emotional dad being there. So, you know, you'll be gone and I'll be cooking with the kids. They love cooking, you know, we'll play. You know, and we'll try to, and I try to get, I'm just trying to get, build better habits, you know, because when you're here, I rely on you for the habits. I know that's not fair, but that's what I do, mm-hmm. You know? So when you're gone, it's like, okay, now these are the things I need to do. Mm-hmm. And these are the things I should be doing when you're here. So, you know, it's good to, when you're gone, I can see exactly what you do and what holes I have to fill. And so if anything, like when you were gone for 3 weeks or really close, it was like 24 days.
Yeah. It was almost a month.
Yeah. I knew exactly what you did and what wasn't being done and what I had to take care of, you know? So I gain appreciation for sure. You know,
I do too on my side. Yeah. You know, I've never gone 9 days without, you know, having a conversation with you. Like we've never gone 9 days.
Yeah.
Have you realized this? And I've never gone 9 days without talking to my little two. So
yeah,
I'm happy that Kylie will be with me because I will
still have a kid with you.
And I get homesick so bad. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm 43 and I get homesick.
Well, I don't think it's ridiculous. You know, we're your people.
I have Kylie and I'm just going to focus. I can compartmentalize so that, you know, so that I can, you know, do the work that I need to do. I did go to the Walmart though and have two photos printed off while I was there yesterday getting some things.
You know, to take with you?
Yeah. So I have a photo of our family and doggo. I told Kylie, she was with me. I'm like, this way we can put it up in our Tambo. And that way, if we need to, we have a little piece of home with
Aww.
Us. I know.
Well,
can't help myself.
Good. Good. Yep. I mean, the time will go by really slow for you, really fast for us, I'm sure. Yeah,
that actually always makes me feel good. You said that to me last time.
Yeah.
You said, don't forget that time will go really slow for you, but really fast for us. And yeah. You told me that you were just going to play with the kids, which you did, and they had a blast.
That's what I just try to distract them, you know. That's why I try to involve them in things, you know. We'll probably go to the hot springs. We'll probably see some movies if there's anything that's not shit.
Yeah.
In the theater, you know. We'll do some things and, you know, we'll just.
Yeah. So wait. When I'm away, do you feel like the medicine's working on you too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it works on you when I'm away.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I can only imagine what this sounds like to someone that's like, what are they talking about? What is it? Whatever. There's a consciousness to this medicine. And once you connect with it, it's in you all the time, forever. You know, if you're thinking about doing ayahuasca, it's a life commitment. Not a bad one.
Right.
It's not a bad one at all, you know, but it's a different, you join a club or some sort, you join this group of consciousnesses that are trying to improve.
I think it's good sometimes for our energies to be untangled and almost separated so that we can each really focus on just, and really, anytime you and I are apart, I realize after a couple of days that, oh gosh, like this is me. This is my energy, because sometimes I can feel, you know, you and the kids. I'm very aware of you and the kids and your energies. Sometimes mine gets a little bit mumbled in it. Sometimes it's just nice to be able to do that. In fact, I think that's just necessary for a relationship or partnership or marriage.
Yeah.
Is to have some good quality time apart.
Yep.
You know, and really love that. Love that time apart and take that, not feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
You know, and not feel selfish about it and understand that that's how you come back and you have a better relationship or I'm always a better mom. I always see things, you know, even if I wasn't taking plant medicines and I was just away from the kids, I always come back with a new perspective and gratitude, you know, for being a mom and the opportunity to be a mom, especially to the kids that we have, you know, to being a wife, you know, being a partner, you know.
Yeah.
And so.
It's healthy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You know? And it's healthy. You know, it's healthy to be away, but it's also healthy to dedicate a period of time to work on yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and there's no other ways to do that without leaving.
Yeah, I think
without the distractions. And
I think, you know, even 3-4 years ago, you were really uncomfortable with that.
I was.
The idea that I would do something on my own.
Yeah.
You were offended about it. Like you thought that it was about you when it had nothing to do.
Yep.
About you. Again, this is men are very literal. Like, oh, my wife wants to go away.
I was immediately offended.
Right. Yep. And be away from me. That means, you know, that literally she wants to be away from me. And really what I think I was finally able to say or articulate well is, no, I just need to sit my own energy. Like this makes me just a better, happier person. And don't you want to be with a better, happier person?
Yeah. Well, I had to also see the benefit of spending time apart.
Right.
You know, and I haven't really, other than going to Peru the one time by myself, I haven't really taken any, you know, like, hey, I need to go do this for me, but I'm going to.
Right.
Because I definitely see it. It's a really weird thing when you spend so much time with someone and you start to get your energies mixed up. I don't think people are aware of that.
Well, and we spend an awful lot of time together. We work together.
Yeah.
We parent together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're each other's best friends.
Yeah.
So we go on walks together. We, yeah. You know, and that's just
I don't find you boring right, at all.
Just,
and so
that's just how we like it.
Yeah.
But it's really good sometimes, especially if I'm working on something or you're working on something, you know, within, that's the time where it's like, I can't, like, I need to feel myself and work things out. And part of what we've been learning through communication is how to communicate that with the other one and the other one respecting that and not getting upset.
Yeah. This is good advice for people that spend an incredible amount of time together as a couple.
Right.
It's
well, you said at the beginning of the year that you felt like it was absolutely necessary at least one time of year for one of us to go do something away from the other one. Now I've been saying this for like 5 years. I suggested two separate houses right next to each other. Just kidding. you didn't go for that. You were like, nah.
That was during a fight. I'm like, what are we doing? No, I think, you know, there was a insecurity obviously in the relationship I hadn't plowed through.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. And, you know, you have to at some point feel okay being alone and in a partnership at the same time. And somewhere down the line, I was self-conscious about being alone. But, you know, I plowed through that for sure. I see the benefit to it. I'm sorry it took me a couple years longer because it would have benefited us.
You don't need to apologize. It would have
benefited us, you know, years ago. But yeah, no, I totally feel that. And, I don't see us figuring out how to do that every year, you know?
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, again, I think, you know, at some point I'm going to go to, like, I want to go to Peru with you. I mean, I don't know how that's going to happen in the near future, probably in the far future, since you're going now, and probably the next time I go would be with, you know, Taylor. But, you know, but I think it's important that you're going with Kylie, you know.
I think so too. It was the beginning.
It's a bonding thing too. Like, I, you know, we've fantasized about this. You know, this was one of the things that we didn't push on Kylie whatsoever.
Right. She came to us.
She came to us. But, you know, when it popped up, I was just like, and for a second, you're like, you should go with her. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You should go with her. This is a mommy daughter thing if I've ever seen one.
Because I had really convinced myself that I was done working with ayahuasca. Like, I really thought. And it just kind of makes me excited too, thinking about the fact that I was legitimately called back to ayahuasca this time.
Yeah.
I'm still looking around going, how is it that I am headed to ayahuasca when I really had wrapped my head around the fact that I thought I was done working with the plant medicines, that my cup was full. I had everything I needed. Now it was just about integrating for the rest of my life. And
don't you think you kind of, because I think you touched on this couple of years ago, don't you think that was the conclusion you came to because you weren't giving yourself enough time to integrate?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it was just because I spent nearly a month in the jungle and, you know, my plant dieta was a little rough.
Yeah, well, that could be too.
Yeah, it ended rough and it just kind of threw me for a loop, and I was in a tailspin for a bit.
Yeah,
I had a really hard time coming back, and I was really confused.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it had something to do with that, but I think it's a lot of judgment. Like, I think I was judging myself and judging other people, and, you know, I had all these belief systems. And the last 2 years, I think I realized that, you know, I just need to let all that go. And I don't really 100% know what lies for me in the future, but I'm going to remain flexible and open.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to do what I do.
Every time it's time to go back, it's not hard to coordinate and it's not hard to find the money. So that's usually a good sign that it's time to go back, you know, that it's right.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes there's a life event that happens where it's really great about, like, slapping you across the face a couple times and showing you the way.
Well, yeah. Yeah. No. Like, all these memories flow back into my head. Well, yeah. Like,
yeah. That's pretty much what.
That's
what happened. It just makes me realize, again, the more that I think I know, I just don't know anything.
Yeah.
And how cool is that?
It's great.
It's so cool because you're never going to get to the bottom of the barrel. You're never going to know. There's no end to it. It's just a journey.
If you stay active, then life doesn't become monotonous and boring.
Yeah. And there's just so much more to explore and to know. I think I was thinking yesterday back at everything that I've learned since the last time I went to ayahuasca in 2017. Wow. Like, I'm shook, you know. Like,
yeah.
I think it's remarkable, you know, just finding Kavik.
Yeah.
And how grateful, the gratitude that I have, because I'm so connected to my body now.
Yeah.
And I'm
same here.
Yeah. And it feels so good to be connected to my body now.
Yeah. Cause once you're connected, then you start hearing what it needs.
Yeah, your body literally starts to talk to you, and you realize you can hear the difference between what the body needs, what the mind needs, and what the spirit needs.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to be, I think. But I realize that I'm ready for, like, next level of learning, whatever that holds, you know, new set of perspectives, broader awareness. I get to go a little bit deeper within myself, and
I just feel like when you come back, that's when, you know, the new opportunities are going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
This is where we make the next life jump.
Well, I don't think anything is a coincidence. I think everything is synchronistic. And so I feel like some of the things that I've been working on for the last few weeks are not by mistake. These are not by chance. You know, and I feel like I'm beginning to get a bigger, broader picture of what my mission is.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that you know, it can be tidied up in a nice little bow from I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. But I really do hope that one of the questions, if I get an opportunity to ask ayahuasca questions, you know, specifically, I'm going to ask some questions about my mission, my calling, my life path.
Yeah.
And let's hope I'm on the right track. If not, then fuck it. Let's do something else. Like
never on the wrong track. Yeah. Never on the wrong track.
We'll see. Well, I love you. This will be my last, you know, time on the podcast until March.
Yeah.
But
I'll probably do a solo one.
I think that's maybe a great idea.
I don't know, you know. Definitely gonna do one with Taylor.
I think that's great.
You know, and like I think it's time to, you know, we should bring some people on and have some other conversations with people. And it's been fun to watch our little audience grow.
Yeah.
So.
And thanks for all the comments and the feedback and the emails and things like.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's just, it's again, we really, Joel and I really started the podcast because we saw a need to connect this way and also wanted to connect with like-minded individuals. And really we saw there's not a lot of couples talking about parents, you know, old people talking about ayahuasca.
Not that old, but.
and then, you know, having families. And,
yeah, we're married with kids. We're not people that are Instagram influencers that, you know.
We're not CMBMEs or psychonauts, really.
No, we still have jobs that, like, you know, we still have to, like.
We live in the suburbs. We have an HOA. Like we're
we have an HOA.
But my
bullshit HOA.
My point is that we haven't, like, we don't live in an earth house. We haven't gone off grid. I mean, don't. I mean, like, I would love to do that, but that's just not a practical way in this time and space to raise children.
No, we're still,
you know, we go to
everyday
soccer
shit
and basketball practice. I drive my kids to piano lessons. We're just regular people that have been greatly,
if you saw us on the street
and healed by psychedelics,
if you saw us on the street, you would be blown away of what we've done to right the ship, to get our shit back on track.
Sometimes I think that, like, a parent teacher conference, you know,
well, like that other parent that was like, "Hey, I heard you're going to Peru," and I'm like, "Yep." I didn't know what to say. I'm like, should I tell her?
No, I just tell people we're going on a backpacking or a yoga retreat. I usually tell people that we're going on a yoga retreat.
Part of me wants to, but this is what anyone that does ayahuasca, this is what you're going to learn quickly. If people aren't meant to do ayahuasca, they're going to just stare at you.
Right.
They're going to be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, and this is another reason why we go to Peru, is because it's legal in Peru.
Yeah.
The last thing that we need is, you know, Department of Children and Family Services knocking on our door because we decided to go do an ayahuasca ceremony in Ogden, which is scheduled.
I heard you
one
drank
drug.
A tea and now you're a better person. Yeah. I'm going to lock you up.
No, that's.
I know.
You know, so if people are wondering why are we going all the way to Peru, like, that's a lot of it is that. It's just for me particularly.
It's the whole package too, though.
Peace of mind.
Yeah, peace of mind. But it's the whole package, and it's you know, it's we're fine tuning life right now, you mm-hmm. know, and it's I mean, I think if we were in a you know, bad spot, I'd figure out how to find it locally. But I think this is perfect. This is how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
I still follow the book Journey of Souls, right?
Yeah.
Where we all came up with this life plan and we're going from A to Z, and how we get there, what letters we go to is up to us, but we're still going to make it to Z regardless.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you. You're not messing up your life. You're not messing up your path, your plan. You know, you're going to take the hard road or the easy road. That's up to you.
Yeah.
But you're going to get there either way.
Yeah.
You know, and if you pick the hard path, it's because you needed to pick the hard path to understand something on your way to the end.
Yeah, and sometimes
there's lots of ends.
So yeah. I was like, it's sometimes not until the end, you know, when people are really on their deathbed.
Yeah.
That a lot of the things that they needed to learn in their life sort of, you know, all of a sudden they come into perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever been with someone through that death process, it's pretty remarkable the things that they will articulate at the end.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. And it's pretty powerful.
But wow.
Anyways, I'm going to miss you guys. And
can't wait till you come back.
I am looking forward to you know, warm weather.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, no more snow.
Yeah.
So no more cold for a little bit.
Well, it'll probably be nice that you don't have to use a blow dryer and
no makeup. I just go all natural. I literally just go down there.
You don't have a choice.
I know. It's so much fun. I love it.
You don't have a choice. In like 200% humidity, what are you going to do?
I know, right? I know.
I'm going to put on mascara today. No, you're not. It's going to run.
I'm not even bringing makeup.
I wouldn't.
I don't see the purpose.
I bring deodorants for the people on the plane.
Thanks, babe. Yeah. Oh, you're referring
from last time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, anyway. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
Yep, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Bye.
Goodbye. Okay,